Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy last Monday of the year as we wrap up 2024. So the Mizzou-Iowa game got tied up, and Iowa went down and scored. Mizzou went down and scored. They kicked off, and then Iowa took it all the way back. Just like that, and Iowa jumps up ahead.
There we go. Hopefully Eli Drinkwitz has something in mind, you know?
How do you think this game's going to play out?
I mean, I'm hoping Mizzou. I'm riding for local, so.
I mean, I would assume, but I wasn't asking who you're hoping.
Okay,
how do you actually, we should probably table this, and then we'll have Ethan come in a little bit. We'll talk a little. Yeah, our sports expert, because he's going to want to talk about Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't let the opportunity go. The boy would be heartbroken if we didn't talk a little Cardinals.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's how it's going to be. So, one of the things... we're going to find out some bold predictions for the year. What are some of the things that you think are going to happen as we go into 2025? It's funny, I said earlier that I was watching the Hancock and Kelly show on Fox 2 yesterday, and one of the bold predictions that John Hancock gave was that the Elon and Trump divorce is going to be messy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of people that are curious to see how long is Doge going to last,
yeah.
Right? So Elon's coming in, and the Democrats are already making those shots of, you know, well, Elon's really running the country. It's not going to be Trump. And I'm like, if you believe that, you're even more confused than what I thought you were.
Yeah.
Elon may have a lot of money, but Trump is Trump. And I don't think anybody tells Trump what to do.
Exactly. Before we get into this, I got to kind of throw John Hancock under the bus. We were supposed to have him on the show on KMOX Sunday, but then he said, oh, I lost track. We always have him on every Sunday.
Oh.
But he's like, oh, I lost track of what day it is. And then he's on TV. So
shout out
to John Hancock for that one.
Oh, man, that's tough. And you're left hanging then because you don't know. It's like, hey, we were supposed to have a segment, and now we can't.
We're in the pivot business, though.
Yeah, you know? That's true. This is very true. We're all about calling alternatives. What did Scooter say? Mike Elam, wouldn't it make more fun of the callers like Ryan, Brad, and Mrs. F? I don't get that one. Explain that to me.
I think that's an insider. I'm not even privy to that.
Sorry, Scooter. I lost you on that one. I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, but what do you predict? Do you think it's going to be a messy breakup between Elon and Trump? Or
I think eventually they're gonna fall out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how messy it's going to be, and I also don't know how long Elon's going to want to mess with this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. This is a guy who's worth roughly $300 billion now after the latest jump in his stocks,
mm-hmm.
Of where they all went. So he's approaching that point now. He's not getting paid to do this, so it's going to be okay. I got a lot of other stuff going on. I got like four other trillion-dollar companies that I'm running. I got satellites to launch. I'm trying to get people to Mars.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff going on.
Boring company is about to put their hyperspeed rail into place, so that's going to be a big project.
I mean, he's got an awful lot going on.
Yeah.
I don't quite get the whole Vivek Ramaswamy into this whole thing.
So he's also in Doge, so he might act as like a mediator between these two, you know?
But my disconnect is, so you've got I get you want Washington outsiders, right? Because you want people with fresh eyes to come in and go, look, as business people, this is how I would do this. And Ramaswamy is a billionaire as well, right? So I get he did a lot in his area. I don't really know what he did to get his money. I've forgotten. I'm assuming it's software.
I think it's medicine related.
Is it? Okay.
Something
I probably should have paid more attention, but I never really took him seriously as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have. He connected with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see him actually being president. I thought Trump would find something for him, but I was a little surprised that he put him with Elon. I would have liked to have seen somebody who was a former legislator who was part of this crew, because and Elon, I think some reports between him and Speaker Johnson after the whole back and forth went on there, that supposedly Elon Musk said to Speaker Johnson, I think you may have the toughest job in the world. And I don't think Elon fully appreciates Washington, D.C. and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hear people talk about all the time, the system shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be like this. It should be like that. I'm like, you may not be wrong. I probably would agree with you. The system is flawed. However, the system is the system.
Right.
And people who normally try to break the system, if they're successful in breaking it, it's good for people behind them. It rarely works out well for the people who are breaking the system.
Yeah.
They just don't tend to survive very well.
So Vivek's whole thing was to abolish different departments. Like he was talking
right.
about this.
Department of Education.
Yeah, and FBI. Others.
Yeah.
And he wanted to push more resources into like the U.S. Marshals as opposed to like these big, letter.
Bureaucratic organizations, yeah. CIA, FBI, and what's the National Security? NSA?
Yeah. So they want to do this through DOGE, but I think what people don't really understand is the fact that DOGE won't have that much power.
No, it's all recommendations. For it to really happen, I mean, Trump's going to be able to do some of these things through executive order. But the bad part about executive orders, and you're going to see it happen as soon as he gets inaugurated, he's going to go back in and he's going to sign all these executive orders. It's the same thing Biden did to him 4 years ago. But the bad part about those is they can be redone when the new guy gets in. It doesn't have any staying power. You've got to have staying power to get there. Mm-hmm. That's one of my problems with this whole term limits thing that we have in Missouri. You know, 8 years in the House, 8 years in the Senate, and you only have leadership in 2 years that's the same. You have the Speaker of the House is 2 years. The President of the Senate is 2 years. We're probably the only $50+ billion a year company in America that has a 2 year long range plan, because that's as far as you can go. Your leadership's going to change. And the next guy who comes in, the next lady who comes in with Cindy O'Loughlin taking over, is the very first female President of the Senate. Kudos to her. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Right. So she's going to come in and do her thing for 2 years. Well, the person who comes behind her may have a completely different agenda. And then you're going to have to rearrange your entire long-range plan. There is no long-range plan in the Missouri legislature. And it's set up that way because we went to these 8-year term limits. I would rather just say, and I don't know who's going to be able to get this done. It would have to be a ballot issue that we would put on, because you're going to have to change the Constitution, which we seem to do all the time now. But I would rather just go to 16 years, spend it however you can, right? Right mm-hmm. now you can do 8 in the House, 8 in the Senate, total of 16, if it works out for you. I'd rather say you can do 16. If you want to do 16 in the Senate, 16 in the House, and you can continue to get elected there, good for you. But maybe that would give us a little more continuity of government to where you'd be able to get things done. Right now, when you run into the personality conflicts that Scott Faughn was talking about, mm-hmm. that we've really had over these past 2 years, where you've had some of the folks who were on the far right of it, and then you had the president of the Senate, who were mortal enemies, it felt like, in everything that one person said, the other person said was the opposite, right? And they just could not agree on anything to get done. I don't understand in the Missouri legislature why, if there are areas that we agree, why can't you just get those done right away?
Yeah.
But that isn't how we focus these days in the Republican Party. We tend to only focus on what divides us. And I'm like, but you agree on 90%. Why don't you just get that done? And then let's come back. That was Ronald Reagan's theory. If I can get 80% of what I want, I'll take the 80%, and then I'll come back later and try to get the other 20.
So increasing term limits is on your 2025 wish list?
I would love to see that happen.
Did you have anything else on there?
There's a lot of stuff I would like to see happen. I'd sure like to see the city of St. Louis get their crime issue worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have told you before. So my daughter's boyfriend is a officer in St. Louis City Police. And just talking to him about what's going on. And there's an awful lot of police officers that are really hoping they get taken over by the state.
Yeah.
Because they feel like their hands are tied on how they can do their job. And if you talk to the police officers in the city of St. Louis, they know. The guys who are out in the street every day, they know what they need to do to get crime under control. They just feel like that they have one arm tied behind their back on how they're trying to fight crime, and that the current administration won't let them do it. And it doesn't really matter who is the police chief, I'll say, just because the police chief works at the pleasure of the mayor and the board of aldermen. So I think they've really got to develop a plan of how do we make the city of St. Louis safe? Nothing else is going to work, right? So I always talk about the fact of before you can have an economic development plan, you've got to have a feeling that I am safe in my neighborhood, not your overall community, but I am safe in my neighborhood. If you don't feel that you are safe in your neighborhood, you're never going to be able to grow because that is your foundation to build off of. It's the old parable of building your house on stone and building your house on sand, mm-hmm. right? If you don't feel safe in your neighborhood, you don't have a long-range plan for life, right? A long-range plan for you, if you feel unsafe in your neighborhood, is next week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month.
Yeah.
If you feel safe in your community, safe in your neighborhood where you live, you'll do a 1 year, a 2 year, a 5 year long range plan because the expectations are you're going to be here.
Yeah.
But if you're in neighborhoods that are unsafe, you don't have the expectation you're going to be around. So why would you plan for a long range plan?
And it affects the crime and safety affects so many other things.
It does.
One of the things Steve was talking about earlier is just like the trolley, that
yes.
loop. So Kansas City has a bus that will take you to their like downtown to different bars and everything. And it's like completely free.
It's very cool.
You hop on it. You feel, at least I felt safe when I took it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, it just helps the economy so much. But I don't think St. Louis could do that.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Not right now, because you don't have that expectation. I mean, so Mark Harder was talking about the fact earlier about saying that a lot of car thefts that happen in St. Louis County are because people leave their cars unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the car thefts in St. Charles County, 90% are because people left their car in their driveway unlocked. Here's the bigger part. A lot of them left their key fob in the car,
yeah.
unlocked, right? I've told this story before. So it was a couple of months ago. I'm at Brian and Fizey at the Quick Trip right there on that corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I pull in to jump out and go get something to drink. The car next to me has no one in it. It's running, right?
Yeah.
And so that whoever that car owner was, male or woman, felt so confident and so comfortable where they live that they left their car running, unlocked, in a parking lot as they ran inside to get whatever they're going to get at Quick Trip,
mm-hmm.
right? That is the expectation that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I feel that safe that I could do that. Now, I would tell you, don't do that, right?
Yeah.
shut your car off, lock it, and take your key fob with you. Take your keys with you before you go. If people would just lock their car, and that would take care of the majority of problems that we have in terms of car thefts. Because so many of the car thefts are people just walking by flipping door handles.
Yeah.
So if they flip your door handle and it doesn't open, then they're going to move on to the next car. So the number one thing is just do that.
And don't buy a Kia.
And no, they've got that fixed. It's only certain models.
Yeah.
Certain models. No. And Mark Carter was a big proponent of getting that fixed, by the way. He had a whole thing that he did with Kia and Hyundai because those were the cars that under certain years, there was that video of how to break into them and how to steal them.
Absolutely viral and probably cause, I don't know, what, 20%? Of the car thefts now?
And then they wouldn't insure them. So the insurance company started saying, if you live in St. Louis and you have a Kia or a Hyundai, under these certain years, we will not insure your vehicle because we're pretty much sure your car's going to get stolen, which is pretty sad, right? But that's kind of where they were. In terms of what's going to happen over the next year, I think Trump's going to hit the ground running. And I think we're going to have a really nice first 100 days of what's going on, especially since he just came out. Was it this morning or yesterday? He came out and said that Speaker Johnson has his full support, because the big thing that we were worried about is, are these guys going to fight and have another speaker fight like we did before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so now either. I think once Trump says he's my guy, leave him alone. And now people are all worried because as long as Trump and Elon have this great relationship, and I think it's a fair worry, they're worried that if they go against them, Elon's going to back people to primary people who fight against Trump's agenda. Republicans.
Yeah.
He's going to back primary fights to get rid of you. So that's going to make some folks in D.C., I think, start looking at, okay, do I really want to pick this fight? You know, do I want to get sideways with the richest man in the world who could just drop money just to play, right? He could drop a few billion dollars just to mess with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know that I would want to do that. You've got to be at the table to have a vote to make a difference. And that's why people talk about what's the number one goal of every elected official? To get reelected, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not there, it's really hard to affect policy if you don't have a seat at the table. Not saying that that needs to be your total focus. You need to focus on getting things done and doing it for the right reasons. But if you don't have a seat at the table, you're in the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, you know, you making your voice heard. You should reach out to your elected officials and let them know what you think. Let them know where do you think they should be doing, and let them know what you feel about on particular issues. But at the end of the day, it's your elected official who needs to do the vote and your elected official who needs to make it happen. And they're going to have a very narrow majority, like one vote is basically all they can lose and still elect the speaker on that first vote.
Yeah.
And there's already a couple of them are saying, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm like, well, you're just an idiot, right? That's you being selfish and you trying to say, I want something for my vote. And they're going to want something in their district. And they say, after I get that, I'll vote for Johnson. You know, you're just an ass at this point, right? I don't need people like you holding up progress for the country because you want to put what you want ahead of what's the best for the country.
I think Johnson's connection to Trump is going to scare a lot of people, too, because he's been at the Army, Navy game together. They go to UFC fights together. So they're showing strength.
Well, I think Johnson's a smart guy and he understands it's going to be easier for me to understand what are Trump's number one priorities and what can I get through so we can all row in the same direction, right? You've got the presidency, you've got the Senate, you've got the House. Everybody is expecting something to get done.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not get something done. Double negative. So you've got to be efficient, Doge, and you've got to find ways to get these things done. Crime's got to be number one. The border's got to be number two. Once you get those things done, he's going to have to find some early wins, grab those to create the momentum that he's going to have to use.
What was your biggest thing you wanted to get done with this election? Like, what were you looking forward to the most?
With the national election?
Yeah.
Trump winning, but retaining the House in the getting the House in the Senate mm-hmm. was really the biggest thing. Right. I felt like Trump was going to win, no matter if it was Harris or it was Biden, despite what Joe Biden's saying now is he's thinking if he would have run, he would have won. OK, whatever,
no chance.
Joe. That just shows you truly are senile. But, you know, Trump being in the White House is the biggest building block there. Mm-hmm. Us having the House and the Senate especially, because so much happens in the Senate. And with confirming all these judges, as a matter of fact, real quick, play cut number six. This is Jane Crawford from CBS and talking about something that could just make Democrats lose their minds.
I'll go back to the court. I think that Donald Trump will probably get his fourth nomination to the Supreme Court either this year or maybe next year.
Because someone retires,
Justice Sam Alito.
Justice Sam Alito.
He was nominated, took the bench in 2006 after nearly two decades on the court.
So that is going to make the liberals lose their mind even more. Because if Trump gets to put another pick in there, then they're going to be completely crazy. But we'll see how that goes. Hey, we'll take a break here. We'll come back, continue this conversation on the other side. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk. Happy New Year, everybody. You got to love the fact that we're still playing Christmas music. Are they still doing that at KZK? Are they still doing Christmas music?
No, I'm pretty sure that ends like the day after Christmas.
I wasn't sure.
And this isn't Christmas music.
It's Run, Run, Rudolph.
No,
from
this
Chuck
is
Berry.
It is Chuck Berry, but this is Johnny B. Good.
Oh, I thought it was. I'm sorry. I thought it was Run, Run, Rudolph. I'm so.
Come on, Mike.
I'm having PTSD from Christmas. Yeah. Can I just share with you? I'm really not a Christmas music fan.
Okay.
No,
I'm not. Yeah. I'm not that guy. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just very little Christmas music that I go, oh, I love that.
I'm very picky with Christmas music, but I feel like for me, I'm very big on like give Thanksgiving its respect. Christmas music cannot start until after Thanksgiving, because if I hear it any earlier, I'm going to get tired of it before we hit Christmas. So I can do about 3 weeks to a month of it, but by the time Christmas is over, I'm like, okay, we're done with the Christmas music.
I can do about 3 days.
So I want Christmas music on Christmas Eve and Christmas, and then after that.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Drew and I are on the same page here, you know. And it's what's the whole thing of it's not Christmas until
New Year's is over.
Until Hans falls 33 stories from a Nakatomi Tower.
There you go.
I have no idea what that's referencing.
Die Hard.
Okay, gotcha. I've never watched Die Hard.
Wait, what?
Yeah, never watched it.
Hello? Best Christmas movie ever.
Well, I know about the whole debate of is it a Christmas movie or not, but, you know, I just don't have an opinion.
And, you know, I really don't care if it's a Christmas movie. I just say that just because it drives some people crazy.
Yeah.
Like, is it a Christmas movie? I don't care. But I'm really tired of seeing the Christmas Story. Isn't that the one with the Red Ryder BB gun?
That's my favorite one, too.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
So I used to really like that, but I've seen it so many times now that mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay.
Okay, so that's not the movie's problem. That's your problem.
Oh, it's definitely a me issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a Mike thing. Yeah.
Just had to put it straight.
Oh, I'm not trying to stop it for anybody else. You know, for those people who all like the whole Miracle on 34th Street, God love you. That's great. What was the other one with, what's the other, Jimmy Stewart?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. Right? Great movie, and I can still deal with that one. But there's so much of it, I'm just like, okay. I don't mean to be a Scrooge, but I end up getting that way. And I think what it really boils down to is so much of the holiday season gets to be so stressful mm-hmm. that it just gets tough to enjoy. Although I will tell you, over the past few years, having grandkids, it really does change things.
Yeah.
When you have little kids at Christmas, it changes Christmas completely.
Well, so the youngest in my family are my two cousins, but they're like 15 and 17.
It's different.
I don't know. I enjoyed that more because
really?
We can actually talk to them and they can, like, you know,
sound like semi-adults.
Exactly. And they're closest to me in age compared to the rest of my family. So I actually enjoyed that more.
Well, I'm just talking about the excitement of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, the wonder of Santa and all that type stuff and bringing the presents and them opening it up. You know, they're just so excited with everything. But it was just so funny when my grandson, when I said, hey, did you get Blues tickets? He goes, I did. And Santa accidentally brought me toys, too.
Oh, no.
And I was like, accidentally? That's interesting how you put that together.
That's funny.
Because he truly, when they took him to see Santa, he only asked for one thing, Blues tickets.
That's really funny.
A three-year-old. I want Blues tickets.
Three-year-old. Oh,
wow. He's three. And he's like, I want Blues tickets. And I'm like, really? That's what you want. Do you want anything else? Nope, Grandpa, I just want Blues tickets.
So what if he gets to the game and he's like, oh, I wanted box tickets?
Oh, no, my son took him.
Oh, okay.
And
so he's already been.
Who did we just play the other night?
Sabres.
Buffalo? Was it on Sunday?
Yeah.
Or the Friday night game?
I think it was Sunday.
It was the Buffalo. Poor kid watched a piece of junk game.
Did we lose?
We suck against bad teams.
Well,
the Blues are got to be like the worst team in hockey against bad teams.
He had a great time watching it. So
my
son put some pictures up on Facebook of him watching. So when the crowd is going, let's go Blues, he's right there with them.
That's awesome.
Right? So he's three, he's into it, and he's just having a great time. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, all right, this was really cool, right? So you enjoy that, and it makes it fun. Yes, Mike Sommer, The Bishop's Wife from 1947 is a good Christmas movie. And thanks to John and Anna for tuning in today. Just getting texts that are coming in of people making random suggestions of things that I should pay attention to.
Okay.
Bishop's Wife is one that I hadn't thought of in a long time.
Never heard of it.
So I think Whitney Houston did a version. She had a movie.
They did The Preacher's Wife. I love that one. That's a good one.
So the original was A Bishop's Wife from 1947.
Okay.
Same concept.
Gotcha.
Right? It's just because we can't have any new ideas anymore,
mm-hmm.
we just keep remaking old ones.
A young Denzel Washington.
Yes. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So I assume you have been watching all the bowl games.
A fair chunk of them, yep.
Hey, by the way, for the guy who was on the feed and said, hey, don't talk about the Mizzou game, I'm taping it, here's what I'll tell you. They're tied. There you go. That's I didn't tell you what the score is. I didn't tell you.
Hey, listen,
what was going on?
All love to you, man. But
there you go.
We can't cater an entire show for you.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to talk about the whole thing of what's going on.
Well, you're nicer than me.
Well, I know, but I just wanted to throw that. It's like, look, man, I appreciate it. You're going to watch it later, but we'll just say they're tied and we'll go from there. Which gives me a whole Ferris Bueller of. What's the score? 0-0. Who's winning?
Yeah.
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. Yep, there you go.
You gotta love that. So, have you enjoyed the bowl game so far?
I tell you what, there's been a few of them that have been fun. I like the bowl games that really try hard to make it fun. For example, the Pop-Tarts Bowl has become like one of the best things in college football. But with the state of college football right now, so many guys are opting out of these games.
I know.
There's even if they're staying with teams, whether they're entering the NFL draft, whether they are entering the transfer portal. I mean, a lot of these guys are already with their new teams, which not playing with them, but they're already like they've announced that they're going to join this team or that team.
And they're out.
And they're out. And it really, you know, it takes away some of the excitement. But then again, when you have, you know, 6-win teams playing each other, and it's like, what are you guys playing for? You know, and you got Dylan Raiola for Nebraska after Nebraska won the Pinstripe Bowl, 6-7-win season, smoking cigars in the locker room. It's like, what are you guys celebrating?
Hey, it was a winning year. Season
for Nebraska, that is something to be proud of, I guess. But I don't know. I think that because of the current state of college football, these bowl games are going to continue to have a hard time drawing traction and drawing excitement. But when you have stuff like the Pop-Tarts Bowl is doing, where there's so much extra stuff going around it, and
the
you
trophy.
Know, you win a trophy that has a Pop-Tarts toaster in it.
I saw that.
And they're talking about sacrificing a Pop-Tarts mascot, and then the winning team eats it after. Like, some of that stuff is really funny and entertaining, and Twitter X does a really good job, you know, with the fun stuff like that. But as far as just simply the competition, it's pretty boring if you're not in the playoff.
How did I miss that there was a Snoop Dogg bowl game?
because the game was between Miami, Ohio and Colorado State. Yeah. That's how you missed it. It was also during the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So if you had any interest in that, you weren't watching
I'm like, hang on. There's that whole discussion of we have way too many bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do, mm-hmm. right? But how does Snoop Dogg get a bowl game? And that's not a major story, right?
I mean, this really is a simple answer. It's because he's Snoop Dogg. I mean, the guy can do whatever he wants. He's been a broadcaster in NHL video games. He did
the Olympics.
Boxing.
He's done the Olympics. He's featured in Nickelodeon shows. I mean, like, this guy is the most...
National Geographic.
Yeah, this is the most random guy ever. He will do whatever he pleases because money talks, and he is a one-of-a-kind brand.
But when you have... When you have the Snoop Dogg bowl, it's like, okay, that's a special bowl, quote unquote, uh-huh. with Snoop Dogg, uh-huh. as opposed to other bowls that you're going to have.
Oh, yeah. He did commentary throughout it.
Oh, yeah.
It was very entertaining.
But it's one of those kind of things of, all right, is that where we are now? Is that where the state of college football really is? But to your point, like Arkansas had 25 kids who hit the transfer portal.
And they're not the only one. A lot of teams are having that same exact story where it's that many kids. That
Marshall
no
had to cancel their bowl game because they didn't have enough players.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Everybody left. Yeah. And I think Central Florida... Once Gus Malzahn left, so did the majority of the Central Florida team. They all left as well.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Tom Ackerman over at KMOX, and he said the game's going to change once these like billionaires get involved in the NIL money.
Yeah.
So it might look like a completely different landscape. I would assume they would go after like the legacy teams like in Alabama, Georgia. What do you think about NIL?
I think that if you don't put some regulation on it very quickly, it's going to be too big to be able to fix. The idea of college athletes getting paid, I think, makes sense. You know, the NCAA makes a ridiculous amount of money off of these guys.
They do.
But it has become free agency every year, which
is
not right. It is the aspect of a team is completely gone. It's all about the me. And I think that's really bad, not only for college football specifically, but also just like the point of college football. And you hear a lot of these really legendary coaches talk about this is not just like building these players, but you're turning boys into men. You know, you're teaching mm-hmm. guys how to become adults. The large majority of these guys are not going to play in the pros. And
and
what are you teaching these guys when it's every single year it's solely about like, what do I get out of this? I better be starting if I'm coming here. Hey coach, if you don't have me as a starter next year, I'm going somewhere else where they're going to pay me a lot more money.
Right.
What are we teaching these young kids still about some of these aspects of the way that college sports, specifically college football, because it's the one that's being taken advantage of the most in it. There's the most money there. But what are we teaching these kids? Nothing about adulting.
Well, and you've got this whole revenue sharing, I think, that's just starting in the SEC this year, right? So now you're going to have the revenue sharing that they're going to be able to use for NIL money. Did I understand that correctly?
I don't know. I know that there were different schools that were talking about that. For example, I know that the University of Tennessee is going to be, or they were at least advocating for it. I don't know if it ever became official that they were going to start doing this.
I think the SEC is doing the revenue sharing.
It may be, but where a percentage of the ticket goes to the NIL fund.
Okay. Yeah, which is, so this is all crazy. When Arch Manning, who is Eli and Peyton's nephew, is the backup quarterback at the University of Texas. Backup quarterback. You know what his NIL money was?
How much?
$3 million.
I believe he's top three highest paid college athletes.
And I'm sure it's because, again, he's Eli and Peyton's nephew, and his grandfather is Archie Manning. So you're coming from some pretty good stock, right? Yeah. And in Texas, they pay attention to stock with all of their cattle and how it works, right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good cattle get high dollars. That's how it works. But I think it's funny. I think it's sad, to your point. You've got a kid who's a backup quarterback who's getting $3 million to sit on the sidelines at Texas, mm-hmm. right? What do you do if you're some of these other colleges, right? How do you compete with things like that?
There is no competing with it at this point. And that's why you have to get a lasso on it. You have to figure out how to be able to rein this in a little bit to where there is a fair balance between, players are earning the amounts that they're making, which, I mean, I don't know how you, with how much some of these guys are making, I don't know how you figure that part out, but also to where you're not damaging the health of the game. And right now, the health of the game is severely being damaged.
Well, the bowl games just aren't even fun anymore.
No.
I'm not even going to tell you what's going on in the Mizzou game right now. I'm just kidding.
And even some of the bowl issues were pre-NIL, but they're becoming, NIL is not going to help it at all.
I did see this idea. It's kind of like fan funding, where there's an app where fans could pay in, and it goes to the NIL, kind of like how boosters work.
Yep. But
if you get a lot more fan support, it's going to help your team a lot.
Yeah.
I do like that idea, though.
They do that in Alabama.
Oh, really?
Well, they do that. I think Ole Miss has got a big part of that as well, where people are kicking in all this money. I did find, who was it who just said that on the Ebony and Ivory Bowl? T-Ren. Very funny. Snoop and Martha Stewart should sponsor a bowl game. They can call it the Ebony and Ivory Bowl.
Well, I tell you what, I think it was last year there was a Barstool Bowl, it was phenomenal. All of Barstool's biggest talents, is Dave Portnoy, the Presidente, and a couple of their other Big Cat, mm-hmm. and some of these guys were broadcasting the game. They had reporters down there on the field with these guys. I mean, it was a very entertaining broadcast. Stuff like that is fun. If you can make it fun, make it interesting, then you have something that can work. But when you have two random teams playing in a state that's 8 hours away from each of them.
Right.
One, you're not incentivizing fans to go out and watch that game when your team had 7 wins this year, 8 wins this year. So there's no incentivizing to go out and watch it. So it looks depressing when no one's at a big stadium.
Right.
And then why? I mean, you have the local team crowd watching, but outside of that, they're not really drawing much in nationally. I don't see how it's beneficial at this point for college sports to be having this many bowl games.
Well, we'll solve the rest of the problems of the world on the other side of this break. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Hope you're enjoying the last Monday of 2024. Jeez. By the way, who's got bail money for New Year's Eve? That's a whole other discussion that we'll talk about later. It's Mike Elam in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk.
On sponge cake, watching the sun bake.
This is my brand of Christmas music, right here. We could do Jimmy Buffett year-round.
Should have told me that at the beginning of the show.
Sorry, man. So I thought, Kenny Chesney is kind of the country Jimmy Buffett. Same vibe. It's got that whole thing going on. Miss Jimmy Buffett. Will always like him. There was nothing like a Jimmy Buffett concert. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a Jimmy Buffett concert?
I've not, but my sister is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan.
Oh, it was awesome. Because you could just go, like when he would come play out at Riverport or whatever it's called these days, it will always be Riverport mm-hmm. to me. I'm just that kind of, I forget who the sponsor is these days. But it may be the casino. I don't know. Somebody's going to know. But anyway, when you go to a Jimmy Buffett concert, the best place to sit was out in the lawn because it was just so much fun. The Parrot Heads are making a great time. They're so into it. Everybody's just there to have just a really super fun time. So it was really cool. Hey, Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Annie will be back, I think, next week.
She's back the sixth.
So she's back next Monday. Oh, for January 6th.
Yeah.
How about that? The 4-year anniversary of January 6th. Oh, man, I'm sure people are going to be losing their mind on that. So there's going to be some, hey, it's you know, going to make it happen all over again.
So just to give you guys an update as to what the week will look like for Annie's show, tomorrow Ryan Recker will be hosting.
Him.
You do know him.
I do know him.
And then New Year's Day will be another best of show, I believe.
Okay.
And then Thursday and Friday, Wiggins and Brad will be back. So they will be hosting the Manny Fry Show.
The Manny Fry Show.
As the fans have come to know it as.
I love that.
And then Annie will be back, I believe, on the following Monday.
Awesome.
So that's that. There's your update for you all.
And you're hosting Best Of for Reardon all this week?
Sure am.
Even
well,
New
no,
Year's Day?
Sorry, that's a lie. That's a lie. I did last week, Thursday and Friday, and then I am Monday and Tuesday. We'll have a full produced Best Of on New Year's Day, and then Reardon is back on January 2nd.
On the 2nd and 3rd.
Yes.
Beautiful. And I'm on KML X on Thursday and Friday.
Look at you.
From 10 to 1.
So this is your last time on the airwaves.
This is my last time. My last time to be on 97.1 FM Talk for the year. So it's a little sad.
Oh God,
I'm a bit verklempt.
I'm getting out of here.
You know, it's okay. It is funny though. So Tom Hughes just texted me a while ago and he said, "Hey, why isn't anybody talking about the 25th Amendment on Biden anymore?" And I'm like, I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much like, over. It's no point at the, like, I mean, we have what, a month left?
Oh, it's the 20th. So, yeah. I mean, he's pretty much, he's at the point where he's gone and no one cares.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets back to what I was talking about earlier, to where we all know he hasn't been running things for a while.
Yeah.
But, and I'm curious, after the books start coming out, and you'll get the tell-alls that will start saying, oh, well, here's what was going on, right? Here's the person who was really calling the shots, and here's the person who was making this call and that call. And I think you can really see by the fact that Biden just disappeared, and Kamala Harris is the other one. After she lost,
gone.
She went on this two-week vacation, and everybody's like, anybody seen Harris? Like, nope. Anybody care? Nope.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. And thank God. And I probably shouldn't speak this into existence, but when you see what's been going on in our country since the election, mm-hmm. right? Donald Trump is the de facto president of the United States right now. I mean, he already is. You're seeing world leaders
yep.
come and meet with him. And basically, as the expression goes, kiss the ring. And they're coming from all around the globe to be able to do it. Now, the president of Mexico, she thought she would flex in the beginning when Trump's like, hey, 25% tariffs if you don't get this stuff fixed on the border.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not going to tell me what to do. And then I guess somebody explained to her, he will pretty much cripple our economy.
Yeah. And it seems like he's going to go after the cartels.
Yeah. I mean, he's really pushing back. And Tom Holman. So you asked me earlier, are we done playing audio? If you could pull up cut number 7. So Tom Holman is the guy who's the new border czar. And this is a guy, I would not want to be in his way. And I would not want to stop him. But here's a quick clip of what he had to say.
Look, we're not waiting. I've already been to the border several times. I've already met with Governor Abbott, what we can do for Texas. I met with National Sheriff's Association, what they can do for us. I've talked to the Foreign Minister of Canada, and I've been out to Arizona talking to the sheriffs out there. So we're not waiting for January 20th. We're going to try to secure the border as quick as we can, and we already started work on those plans.
They have just been talking to everybody. And I thought it was funny that Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, even said, hey, I'm open to working with you on whatever needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And you had some of these governors who started posturing, we're not going to give in, and they're not going to tell us what to do, and we're not going to turn people over. I'm like, hang on. Are you seriously saying, when he's talking about, we're going to go after the criminal elements who are creating crimes in your cities, in your states, those are the first people that we're going to get out of our country?
Mm-hmm.
And are you seriously telling your citizens, no, we want to protect those people? Why? Why would you want to protect those people? A, they're here illegally, and they've already proved they don't play well with others.
Right.
Those are the people you want to get out of your country. You probably want to get rid of some of the people who are citizens who don't play well with others. There's some people who you know are just troublemakers that you probably want to get them out of here anyway. But it never seems to stop surprising me of the stupidity that people can have. And we're just going to play politics to all that. Look, man, at the end of the day, you know you're in this weird universe when Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania has turned out to be the logical voice of a Democrat Party.
Right.
I'm like, wait, I thought when that guy was having his strokes and everything, he was pretty much out there. But now he's like the voice of reason. Who knew, right? Hey, thanks for being a part of the show today. Hope you have a great New Year's Eve. And I think the Mizzou game is still tied for those people. I'm going to go watch the end of it. You guys have a great New Year's. Mike Elam in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk.